Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Friends, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are so glad you found your way to this worshiping community. So some of the ways you can learn more about how we are church together, take a look at your bulletin. There are announcements about worship and fellowship, mission and learning opportunities. Don't forget the hospitality register, sign your name. Pass it on down so that we can greet one another by name. And let's see, it is the holiday weekend for those who do not have children at home. Many folks are vacationing, and so I have a list of other people's announcements, which makes them mine too. So good things. First is your reminder that next weekend is when we are preparing and serving at St. Joseph's. And there are a few items left on the list that are needed. So if you would, just check those out. And if you have any questions, let me know. A congregational meeting has been called for October 30th. The details are in your bulletin. This has to do with approving our bylaws, learning about a child protection policy, and just providing some congregational updates. So information out on the table in the hallway. You'll see the table tents there for those to be picked up. One final announcement is that this Wednesday at the Gates Town Hall at 5 o'clock, there will be a prayer vigil for peace, and all are welcome. There's more information in your bulletin. And now let us prepare our hearts and our minds, our entire selves, to worship God.
Join me as you are able for the call to worship. The witnesses tell of your boundless generosity, and their telling is compelling to us. You give your word to call the world into being. You give your sovereign rule to emancipate the slaves and the oppressed. You give your commanding fidelity to form your own people. You give your life for the life of the world, broken breads that feeds, poured out wine that binds and heals. You give, we receive, and are thankful.
Seated. We begin this day with gratitude, thanks that is a match for your self-giving, gratitude in gifts offered, gratitude in tales told, gratitude in lives lived, gratitude willed, but not so readily lived. Held back by old wounds, turned to powerful resentment, retarded by early fears, become vague anxiety, restrained by self-sufficiency in a can-do arrogance, blocked by amnesia, unable to recall gifts any longer. Do this yet. Create innocent space for us this day. For the gratitude we intend. In thankfulness, we will give, we will tell, we will live your gift through us to gift the world. This time, with the children, please come forward. And as the children are coming forward, I would invite the rest of the congregation, if you would, to open your hymnals to page 22, hymn number 22. And just leave your hymnal open. We're going to be singing this for a while. Good morning, friends. How are you? I am so glad. Hello to see you all. I am so glad you all are here. Does anyone know this weekend is a holiday? for our friends and our neighbors to the east and north. What country is to the east and north? Anyone know? Anyone? What you got for me, Will? Oh, come on. East, north. Such a smart guy. Which, what do you got? Not Jamaica. I need my globe here. So to the east and to the north. If I was going to go across the border and go to Toronto, what country would I be in? Oh, now we know. Tell me. Everyone tell me. Canada. Not South Dakota, Will. Canada. And did you, and this weekend is Canadian Thanksgiving. And since half of my family is Thanksgiving, I'm kind of in the Thanksgiving mood about learning all the ways that we can give our thanks and praise. And so this morning, we're going to be singing a hymn. Ready? I asked the congregation to open their hymnal, so I'm going to show it to you. This hymn is called God of the Sparrow. So what I'm going to have the congregation do is we're going to sing the first verse together. So if you guys want to come closer and read with me here, okay? And you guys can stay seated, just verse one, so we get a little taste of it, okay? That I love about this hymn is the way that it draws our imagination to imagine all the ways that God is the God of the sparrow, which is a bird, and the God of the whale, God of the swirling stars. So how does the creature say awe? How does the creature say praise? See the rest of the verses. God of the earthquake and God of the storm, God of the trumpet blast. How does the creature say woe? How does the creature cry save? God of the rainbow, God of the cross, God of the empty grave. See that beautiful rainbow? A lot of rainbows here in Rochester. How does the creature say grace? How does the creature say thanks? How does God of the hungry and God of the sick, God of the prodigal? How does the creature say care? How does the creature say life? God of the neighbor and God of the foe and God of the pruning hook. How does the creature say love? How does the creature say peace? God of the ages, God near at hand, God of the loving heart. How do your children say joy? How do your children say home? This hymn teaches each of us that God is wherever we are, however we're feeling, if we're feeling sad or sick or lost, and that each and every day we have the chance to sing God's praises, to notice the teeny, teeny, tiny things around us, like the bird and sparrow, and to say thank you to God. Can we pray together? Dear God, open our eyes so that we may see all guys have Sunday school today, so you are welcome to go to the classroom now and have fun, okay?
The first reading of the word this morning is from Timothy 2, verses 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead, a descendant of David, that is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoiding wrangling over words, which does not no good, for only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth.
And our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 17. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were made clean. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Your hymnals are still open. Well, this is your warning if they're not. How does the creature say praise? Those were the words that we sang with the children a moment ago. We're going to sing more of this song throughout the sermon. If you look there at the bottom of that hymn, I know some of you are avid readers of the notes at the bottom of the hymn. In case you are not, this is a good chance to learn just little bits about what it is that we are singing. And there it talks about how this hymn lacks punctuation. I find that fascinating. There are no question marks at all in this hymn, and yet we're drawn over and over, verse by verse, into the awe and to the questions. How does the creature say praise? This phrase invites us to explore the choices we have to see, to acknowledge God's grace and mercy at work in our lives. The Protestant reformer Martin Luther was once asked to describe the nature of true worship. And drawing on our gospel reading for today, he responded, "The 10th leper turning back." How does the creature say praise? The leper may not appreciate being called a creature, but I would wager a guess he didn't appreciate being called a leper either. We have no idea his name, but he knows his place. There with the other outcasts, the socially, religiously, physically unclean, long cut off from their families, and community, they know the rules. No contacts between people who have leprosy and those who are well. And the 10 lepers, they cry out to Jesus from that distance, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Somehow they know about this Jesus. As they roam in this borderland between Samaria and Galilee, have mercy on us. When we hear the words of the second verse of this hymn echoing in our heart, let's sing that second verse together.
mercy on us. How does the creature, Christ, save? Here in this passage, in this place of turbulence and storms, shifting ground, this borderland the gospel writer describes, the middle of nowhere, really. But it's more than just a geographic reality. It is an existential reality for so many. The empty places where we wander in our own pain, loneliness, and suffering. How do we, Christ, save? And make no mistake, the passage reminds us that in this story, Jesus is in his own borderland, between here and there, between his life and his ministry, his teachings, his miracles, and his death. He is on his final journey to Jerusalem, to the cross. And this movement punctuates the larger story of God's salvation, in which God responds to the whole world's cries of woe in the separation and brokenness that we all feel in our lives. But just when we begin to become overwhelmed by the enormity of all of the world's suffering, Jesus brings us back into this one place, into our own lives, into the story where he stops. He stops and he hears the cry of these 10 lepers, the no-name, unclean people who no one cares about, wandering in the middle of nowhere. The macrocosm of salvation is brought back to this particular, to this time, to this place, to these people. He sees them. Jesus sees their lives just as he sees our lives. Join me in singing the fourth verse of this hymn. Jesus Christ, God chooses to join us in our very humanness, in our suffering, in our pain, in our life. The Gospels reveal story after story of Jesus, who stands with, who touches, who cares about the lives of those who are hungry and sick and lost and brokenhearted and discarded by the rest of the world. He chooses to identify so intimately with those who are hurt and suffering. He chooses the way of the cross. And we know he sees us. He sees all of us who are poor, who are physically disabled, those who are in prison, the widows, the lepers. He sees their oozing sores and missing limbs, just as he sees us today. He sees those with welfare cards. He sees the cancer scars. He sees the Black Lives Matter signs and he sees denied visas. He sees maxed out credit cards and unpaid medical bills. He sees those attempts to get out of bed in the morning under crushing depression and grief. He sees us. And yet, we sing verse 3. When Jesus sees them, one of them chooses to turn back. For that unnamed man, now healed of leprosy, but still a foreigner of Samaria, that man, he saw something too. He saw the presence of grace in his life, and he made a choice. He turned back. He praised God and he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. Remember, only one of the 10 did so. But that really shouldn't surprise us. If you had a chance to turn on the news this morning or peruse the morning paper, you would have seen that choosing thanks is not the most popular thing to do. Accusations, excuses, venting anger, these what seem to have hold of our culture. We live in this age of complaint, whether shared in person or increasingly through social media. How does the creature say grace? How does the creature say thanks? This hymn, the story from the gospel this morning, challenge and invite us into this space, holding the tension of living a life that has its fair share of challenges and pain and suffering. And choosing to embody grace in such a way that we see ourselves the way that Jesus sees us. And we give voice with our whole entire selves to thanksgiving in word and in deed. But make no mistake, such embodiment of gratitude is a choice. We know that gratitude is not the only emotion we might choose to express in response to the events on any given day. There are reasons for gratitude, yes, but also reasons for fear and anger, for frustration and grief, for regret and apprehension. Each and all of these color our experience, and they make their appearance on life's stage. And perhaps each have a place and a role to play from time to time. There's no doubt. But we choose how much stage time to grant each of these emotions by giving them expression. And as we do so, we give them power in our lives. And that's what's key. We are making the choices. We feel these range of emotions to all kinds of circumstances and situations, and there is no reason to shame or to judge those feelings that come up in each of our lives. But ultimately, how they are lived out in this world is our choice. 10 individuals suffering from leprosy,
had a choice. And one chose thanks and praise.
And he may be without his fellow lepers in his choice, doing this alone, but I can't help think that after he went from Jesus' presence, the choice he made had this ripple effect. There's this beautiful story about how at the National Press Club, the Reverend Fred Rogers, beloved Presbyterian minister, was asked to be a speaker at one of the lunches, where, of course, there were all these famous people, top diplomats, government officials, leaders of businesses and industry. But Mr. Rogers, known to all of us, he began by reaching into his pocket and grabbing his watch and announcing that he wanted to start his speech with 2 minutes of silence, which he invited each person to remember people in their past, parents and teachers, coaches, friends, anyone who made it possible for them to accomplish so much, to give thanks for them. And the room grew quiet. One reporter said that you could hear all around the room people sniffling as they were moved by the memories of those who had made sacrifices on their behalf and who had given them so many gifts. The opportunity to pause, to give thanks. Giving voice to gratitude is a choice that has consequences. For as we express our gratitude, we affect those around us. We even shape the reality in which we are living. Think about it. Coming here this morning, a Sunday morning, it is not the most popular choice. I know many of your friends and family made the choice to sit home with the paper and the news and some coffee. But here we are, coming together to acknowledge God's grace in our lives, to turn back, to say thanks. And that is what worship is all about. Our ability to choose to see God's grace, to come together, to say thank you. And it has far-reaching impacts, more than we can ever imagine. When Christians practice gratitude, we come to worship not just to get something out of it, but to give thanks, to praise God. As a result, everything we do is transformed. Our giving, our stewardship, goes from fundraising to glad gratitude of joyful givers. The mission of the church going to places like Salem and St. Joseph becomes more than this ethical duty to the work of grateful hands and hearts. And our prayers together include not only sharing joys and concerns, but our thanksgiving from the table. This is at the heart of who we are. And the story of one who returns to give thanks points us over and over again to that truth. God promises to be at work in our world and in our lives, in our church. So we cannot help but choose to give thanks. So how does the creature choose praise? How does the creature choose life? How does the creature choose thanks? When we do make this choice, I believe the last two verses of this hymn become become more than just words. They become who we are and how we live together. Let us sing the last two verses. Friends, we continue these prayers, the prayers that sing from our hearts, the prayers we live with our lives, and the prayers that we give voice to around this table in community. What prayers of joy, prayers of concern, prayers of thanksgiving do you have to share with our community this morning? If you have one to share, just raise your hand and an usher will come by with the microphone. See, right over here.
Okay, good morning. Keisha Binko. Wow, Melissa, wow. I came to church this morning ready to ask for prayers for people in my life who are grieving, including me. And my prayer is that they know what you just preached. Beautiful. Okay, and another prayer I have. My son Colin is going in for shoulder surgery on Wednesday this week. So I just ask prayers for healing for him and for the doctors to know exactly how to fix his issues. So thank you for keeping him in your prayers as well.
Prayers for Colin having shoulder surgery and for all those who are grieving this day.
Andrea Unson, prayers for the family of Tom Jarvie. He was a teacher at Gates Child Life as a teacher and coach. Just prayers for his family because he passed away. Thanks.
Prayers for the Jarvie family.
Kate Stanford, I told you about friends of mine that were battling cancer together and he passed this spring. She's been placed in hospice. So they gave her about a week. So if you could pray for her family and their children as they have no parents anymore. Thank you.
Prayers for that family.
Bridget Wohlers, I'd like to ask for prayers again for my friend Erin, whose mom has been diagnosed again with recurrent ovarian cancer.
Prayers for Erin and her family.
Dr. Sean. Thank you, Melissa. I'd like to ask for continued prayers for the people of Jamaica, my home country, and my other home country of Haiti. Thank you for all your prayers and your questions and concern. Thank you.
Continued people for the people of Jamaica and Haiti and all those who have been in the way of this storm's path.
In the past, I've asked you to pray for a good friend of ours, Beth Rowe, who's battled breast cancer. Glad to say that she finished her radiation this past week, and we attended a wedding together last night, and we danced and we celebrated because her health is getting back to some sense of normalcy. She still has a long road to have her, but it was just nice to celebrate some good news for a change. Praise God.
Continued prayers for the Rowe family.
Nina Walker. I'm trying to catch up on the things I missed since I fell. I'm supposed to go in on the 18th for pre-op, and then the 2nd for my surgery, where my battery will be changed, if that's all they're going to hope for. It might be worse, I don't know yet.
Well, prayers for you, Hannah, as you as you go in for surgery.
Good morning, Todd Pym. I wanted to share a joy. My, a few weeks back, I said my mom had skin cancer and she was having issues with afterwards, and she's doing much, much better. Thank you for all your prayers. I know she's doing better because I got a text from her saying that 20 hours of labor with you, you owe me a phone call.
Prayers of joy that she is feeling better. And also, as the microphone makes its way around, prayers of joy for Caitlin Fish and Austin Van Zyl, who were married here on Friday night. That would be Dave and Ann Fish's daughter. So, great celebration.
Jan Brewer, continued prayers for two friends and a sister who are all dealing with three different types of cancer.
Prayers for those suffering from cancer.
With Beckett, prayers of joy for Tina Richardson. A month or so ago, she had a serious heart attack. They didn't expect her to live, and she's left the hospital and gone to a new stair-free apartment.
Amen. And Sally, and as it makes its way over, I would also ask prayers for our presbytery and our presbytery staff and leaders, as all bodies who are going through change, it can be difficult. So I just ask for prayers that we continue to hold each other in love.
Sally Christensen, I'm hearing there's so many concerns out there, and we have concerns in our immediate family for ailing the older generation that are failing quickly. But we have a huge prayer of joy. Our son Scott and his wife Jen are expecting their 2nd child in April. So we're very, very happy.
Great joy, and welcome back. And also prayers of joy for Irene and Peter Derry, who are celebrating their 50th anniversary in Italy. But we'll let them know prayers of joy for the two of them. Let's continue. Oh, am I missing one? Go ahead.
On Monday, I lost an aunt after her 4-year battle with cancer, so I'd like prayers for my family.
Thank you. Let us continue our time of prayer. God of all creation, how easily we are deceived, that thinking by coming just simply to this place to sing beautiful music, to hear challenging sermons and offer our prayers, that we have fulfilled your will. You have reminded us, God, that what we do here together as we demonstrate our love for you is only the beginning of your sacred work. That you call us to leave this place and to be your presence in the world. God, we offer prayers for all of those who are feeling cast out and lost and broken, those who are suffering from natural disasters, those who are suffering from grief, from lives changed by sickness, by life that we can't always control. God, may we continue to surround one another in your love, in your presence. May we be a guide and strength to one another, that in the midst of those difficult circumstances, that we would find the ways that we can turn around, even just for a moment, and offer our thanks and our praise. God, may our hands help those. May our hearts be open to others in love. You have challenged us, O God, and we don't always feel up to the task. So give us the strength that we need to care, to love. And hear us, O God, as we pray for the coming of your kingdom, as Jesus taught us to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as
this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Despite popular commentary about the offering, we are not paying our dues. We are offering in gratitude, a response to the ways in which God's presence is abundant in our lives. May our hearts be open as we celebrate and give thanks to God. Let us receive the morning offering.
Challenges. You sent your Holy Son to restore and to mend our broken faith. We entrust these gifts to your care so that your reconciling love may be a beacon of hope for those in despair. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
May we be a community that continues to turn around each and every moment of our lives, giving thanks and praise to the God who keeps us, the grace that loves and surrounds us that comes from Jesus Christ, and the courage that it takes over and over again from the Holy Spirit now and always. Alleluia. Amen.